If you have your Bibles, find the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, just the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 1. We've been talking about the past few weeks going on mission with Jesus, and that sounds so great until, you know, I start preaching about going on mission to your family, or going on mission at your workplace, or going on mission to your community. But today we're going to kind of pull that all together. And so to bring it to an end, we have to start at the beginning of Acts chapter 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after he, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you have heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Let's pray. Father, this is your world, and your kingdom is not done. Neither is your mission, which you have called us to go with you, so that your mission becomes our mission. Truly, Lord, our only mission. And Father, we are to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the remotest part of the earth. So we have to find our Jerusalem and our Judea, our Samaria. And we have to be willing to go even to the remotest part of the earth. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you that we don't go alone, but that we go with your power. We go with you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Thank you, Father. Be with us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The three takeaways I want you to make sure you get before you leave today. Number one, what did Jesus say? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Domestic missions. Missions right here in our own backyard, our own community, our own state, our own country. Secondly, foreign missions to the remotest part of the earth. Many of you who've been here a long time will remember Greg Larson. Greg's about yay tall, wonderful athlete, just finished up seminary at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And Greg and his wife are going to a town in central Mexico as a part of the International Mission Board. I had a hard time finding it on a map. And when I looked it up, it was under the heading, the remotest part of the earth. So that's where we go, as God leads, as where God sends. And so that's the song, right? The old hymn, wherever he leads. Be careful when you say that. Be careful when you say that, because you never know. You never know where he's going to lead. So here in Acts chapter 1, as the risen Savior is speaking one last time before ascending into heaven, he tells the church not to do anything until they have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, really immersed. That's what baptized means, immersed in the Holy Spirit until you've had all of it. And then you will receive power. When the Holy Spirit is just poured out all over you, then you will receive power. And then, once you've got the power, you'll be able to go and be his witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and indeed even to the remotest part of the earth. The thing is, though, truthfully, too often we're well-intentioned, We try great things for God, but we fail. Nothing really takes root. Nothing really lasts. We might have a good trip, made it back safe, had a good time, checked off everything on our list, but nothing really takes root. Nothing really lasts. And because we're trying to do it all on our own strength, leaving the Holy Spirit too often out altogether. We think up a good mission project, but what we attempt to do is really just a human project, not a God project. And it's powered by our own rather limited resources. It's powered by our own rather limited thinking, our own limited vision, rather than the unlimited power, unlimited resources, unlimited vision that God and God alone has. Think about the story in Mark chapter 9, where a father brings his demon-possessed boy to Jesus. But Jesus isn't in right now. Jesus is up on the mountain with Peter and James and John. Oh, and Moses and Elijah. But that didn't help the father. The father's got a demon-possessed boy, and Jesus isn't in. So he goes to Jesus' disciples, and he explains the situation, and he says, "Can you help him?" And they said, "Well, sure." And they could do nothing. And when Jesus comes back down from the mountain and he hears the story and he hears that they failed, he is genuinely irritated with them that they failed and failed so miserably. And so later, after he has healed the boy and sent the boy and his father on the way, the sheepish disciples come to Jesus and ask why they failed. And he tells them that this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. But prayer. People, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to confess our weakness. We've got to confess our weakness and ask God for the power to respond, the power to complete the mission, his mission. We've got to pray and ask the one through whom all things are possible. And then, when we have our answer, we've got to act. But not a minute before. We don't need to get out in front of God. We don't need to get out ahead of him. Because when we do, we fail. That's why in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent the 70 disciples out on their 2x2 mission trip, he told them to take nothing. No money, no extra sandals, no bag, nothing. And what he was doing, he was forcing them to rely on the Holy Spirit for everything. And how'd it go? And they came back, these 70 who had been out there all this time in town after town, utterly dependent on God for everything. And the scripture says they returned with joy. Joy. They were so excited. They said, "Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name." And Jesus said, "And I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Good job, guys. Let's go. When you're utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit, amazing things can happen. These were not spiritual giants. These were just regular people. None of them had a seminary degree. They were just regular people in whom God was doing something amazing through the power of the Spirit. To go on mission with Jesus in our workplace, in our family, in our community, if we have nothing else, we must go with the Holy Spirit and his power. So, all right, domestic missions right here in our own backyard. If you still got your finger in the book of Acts, flip over to Acts chapter 10, verses 17 through 24. Acts 10, 17 through 24. "Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked direction for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you, but get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." Peter went down and said to the men, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What's the reason for which you have come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you." So he invited them in and gave them lodging. And on the next day, he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. "So, you and I are to go," Jesus says, "and make disciples of all nations, starting in Jerusalem." And we spoke last week on the importance of being on mission with Jesus in our own community, in our own Jerusalem. But we aren't to stop there. Have you watched the news lately? Our nation needs Jesus. Amen? Amen. All the stuff that they're talking about out there, there's one answer. This past week, they celebrated the March on Washington, the 57th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. And one person got up there and said, "This is the generation that we have to have to end racism." Racism is a sin. It is a problem of the heart. And only Jesus is going to fix it. You can have all the self-help books you want. You can take all of the courses at work you want. It's a matter of the heart, and only Christ is going to fix it. Our nation needs Jesus. So we've got to go to our own Judea, our own Samaria. We've got to go. We've got to get out there and be on mission to our own nation. So Peter, in Acts chapter 10, is in the central coastal town of Joppa, and he's staying with a friend, and his friend's got a flat roof. And so Peter's up there on the flat rooftop asleep, and he has this bizarre dream of God showing him all this unclean, unkosher food, and a voice telling him, "Get up and eat." And proving that maybe he was Baptist, Peter argues. But the voice says, "Look, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." And then there's a knock at the door. And there's three men downstairs. And they've come to take him to meet a Roman centurion, an unclean, Gentile, Jew-hating Roman. Blech! How unclean can you get? But Peter still hears that voice. "What God has cleansed, you no longer consider unclean." And so he goes. And what does he find? He finds that God has already gone ahead of him. He finds, when he gets there, that this Roman has been praying to God, and that God has sent an angel with Peter's name and address in Joppa. "Go get this guy." And Peter was to come to the Roman's house as God's answer to the Roman's prayers. And all of the Roman's family and friends were there. And Peter got to preach to them all. And then, brothers and sisters, it was Pentecost all over again. The Holy Spirit fell down on this bunch of Gentile Romans. They all started just praising God. And Peter says, "Man, these people just got saved. We got to baptize them." So let's think for a second what happened. Let's break it down. Peter was listening to God. Now, Judea was filled with a lot of the wrong people, as far as any good Jewish Judean would tell you. But God, see, that's the thing about God. God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't just love my kind of people. He loved them. And he sent his only begotten son for all of us. So Peter's listening, and God's telling him to go with these people to this place. And if God tells you to go, what do? You gotta go. Even if it's two people in places, frankly, your mama wouldn't be happy with you going to. You go. And what does he find? That the mission trip was a success because of excellent planning? No. It was a success because God had gone ahead of him and opened the doors, paved the way, opened the hearts. It was a success because the Holy Spirit was there for everyone. It was a success because everyone was listening to God and being obedient to God. It was a success because anytime you put obedience in the middle of what God is doing, amazing things are going to happen. So we need to be praying about our own Jerusalem, our own Judea, our own Samaria, those places where our mamas don't want us to go. We need to be listening to God. And really, it's not listening here, it's listening here. Listening with our heart. Because brothers and sisters, somewhere out there where we can't even see, God is at work. Somewhere out there, people are praying. And somewhere out there, from here, people will go, you. And you will be the answers to the prayers of people crying out to God for help. God's going to send you to be the answer to their prayers. We need to be on mission with Jesus domestically, right here in our own country. But we got to get to the remotest part of the earth. And that's Acts chapter 13. Just flip over probably just a page, verses 1 through 4. Acts 13, 1 through 4. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Sent them away. The first thing, again, that we need to see is that here in the first great foreign mission trip, that it was initiated by God and not people. There wasn't a missions committee at the Antioch Baptist Church. They didn't sit around and say, "Well, we formed a committee. We need to do something. Let's come up with a project." There wasn't a pastor there in Antioch trying to catch the eye of the International Mission Board. "Maybe I'll get on the board. Hey." It was simply a church being the church. What a concept. If the church was just being the church, it's simply just a church being the church. They were doing the things that a church ought to be doing. It says that they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Ministering to the Lord and fasting. What does that mean? Ministering to the Lord means that they were worshiping, they were praying, and they were loving one another. Remember the two great commandments. Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. And so they're ministering to the Lord and they're fasting. Now, fasting is simply not merely not eating. That's when we think of fasting, we're just thinking, "Well, I'm not eating today, I'm fasting." No, it's more than that. It's a spiritual discipline that keeps us focused on God. That's what fasting is for. It's a spiritual discipline that keeps us just focused on God. And it is into this, as they're ministering to the Lord, as they're fasting, as they're focused on God, it's into this that God spoke. And the whole church began to get the message. And what they came to know is that it was Barnabas and Paul that God had called for a specific task. They didn't ask for volunteers to go on a mission trip. Okay, we're going to do this mission trip. Is anybody able to go? No, that's not how they did it. That's what we do so often, but that's not what they did. What they did was they listened to God. They heard there was this project, and he decided who was going. And so they prayed, and they came to know that it was Barnabas and Saul that God had called. And so they laid hands over them, they prayed over them, and sent them on their way. Now, on a side note, Barnabas decides to take his nephew, John Mark, along with him. But God's word doesn't say that God called John Mark, only that he called Saul and Barnabas. And it wasn't long before John Mark disappointed everyone and bailed and went back to Jerusalem. Hardly before even the mission trip got started, he quit and went home. Remember what Jesus said in John 5:19, "The Son," referring to himself, "can do nothing of himself. On our own, we can do nothing." And that's why he washed out. God didn't call him. And so he bailed and went home. On our own, we can do nothing. On our own, what we do comes to nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Well, finally, wherever he leads, I'll go, even if it's to some place in the middle of Mexico you can't find on a map. In Romans chapter 15, right there at the end of the book, verses 22 through 25, Paul has a plan for his mission trips. And he says to them, "For this reason, I have often been prevented from coming to you, but now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped by you on my way there, when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem, serving the saints. Well, Paul is writing to the church in Rome as he's preparing to leave Corinth in southern Greece for Jerusalem. He's taking the offering that the European churches have collected to ease the suffering of the persecuted church there in Jerusalem. But Paul longs to come to Rome. Amazing things are happening there. Rome, the church there, was not a church that he started. We really don't know who exactly started the church there, but it's right in the capital, and amazing things were happening. And so many of his friends, if you see from chapter 16, were already there, and he wanted to come to see them. So he says, my problem has been that God's been directing my mission work, and so for that reason, I haven't been able to come to see you. But my plan is to get to Jerusalem by Passover, deliver the relief money, and then head to Spain. And I'm passing through on my way. I want to come through Rome and spend some time with you. Well, God had other plans, didn't he? Somebody once said that man proposes and God disposes. It's not, and I can't hit this hard enough, brothers and sisters. It's not our plans that matter. We are God's servants, bond slaves to Jesus Christ. It's not our plans that matter. It's not the slaves' plans that matter. It's God's plans that matter. Whatever we plan, whatever we do, we'll never see any lasting success only in as much as our plans get on board with God and he is at the center of all we do. Brothers and sisters, we get our orders from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are to go. At God's direction and with his power, we are to go into our workplace, into our community, into our very homes. We are to go. Go into our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria. Go. Go even to the remotest parts of the earth. And we've got to pray, because how else will we hear from God if we don't pray? And in our praying, take time to listen. To listen. We seek God's direction, and we listen. We receive his power, power that can only come from him. And we see who he has called for specific tasks, and we pray, and we watch for his timing, not getting out in front of him, but waiting on him so that we may mount up with eagle's wings. And we pray and we see how he is calling us. We pray and we surrender so that wherever he leads, we go. We go. We go wherever he leads. We go to whomever he leads. By the grace of God, we go. With his grace and with his love, we go. Let's pray. Father, if the world is in a mess, it's in a mess in large part because your people, for whatever reason, haven't been listening to you. And we've been trying to do too much without your power. And if we even get the idea that we should go, Lord, if we go without your power, what good does it do? And nothing comes of it. But Father, if we will pray and we will listen, we will surrender ourselves to you, Lord, wherever you lead, we'll go. And your Holy Spirit falls on us and gives us power, we will be able to go and do all that you have commanded us, because we go as your disciples. We know who we are. We know who we've got to be. Your servants, your slaves, your people, empowered by you to go in your name. We are free at that point, Lord. We are free to go. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, Father, look at us, regular folks. And if we are willing pray and to listen and to hear and to surrender to you, to be used of you to go, Lord, we will see miracles done in our own homes, in our workplace, in our own backyard, in our own Jerusalem, our own Judea, our own Samaria. We'll see miracles done, Lord, all over this world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for calling us to be your people who go with your power, your grace, your love. For it is in Christ's name we pray.